Our study tonight is out of Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. The biblically consistent righteousness of Christ's subjects on livelihood concerns. When Jesus said that one's righteousness had to exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees if he were to be part of the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 5:20, he had to clarify to his Hebrew listeners how that could possibly be. For the Pharisees adhered to the principle of halakha, concern for every jot and tittle of performance regarding the Mosaic law. Well, Matthew 5:21 to 7:6 provides many illustrations of Jesus' point. This is a passage, as you well know, is the Sermon on the Mount. And Matthew 6:25 to 34 examples how his kingdom righteousness on the subject of livelihood concerns far surpassed that of the Pharisees. I want to read the passage and then we'll look at it in depth. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, and yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than clothing? Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better or much more valuable than they? Which of you, by taking a thought, can add one cubit unto his lifespan, literally? And why take thought for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentile nations seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Okay, what's going on here? After Jesus stated that one could not serve both wealth and God since they were mutually exclusive masters, he knew that he had opened the door of concern that constantly occupies the nations of the world, according to Matthew 6:32, let alone individuals locally, and that is the concern of meeting their livelihood needs. This is an issue that many Christians often struggle with, because especially in a recession like this, many times we have requests for jobs or job interviews or income. This is something that goes on. Well, Jesus introduced God's solution to this concern, directing his listeners to a way of viewing their livelihood needs that was not practiced by the Pharisees. That way was living by faith as follows. One of the notorious things that the Pharisees did not do is they did not live by faith. They manipulated people around them, circumstances around them, so that they could secure for themselves the greatest security they could for their livelihood. But the last thing they would do is lean upon God by way of faith for income. So what Jesus is teaching here is brand new stuff. It's completely foreign to the mind of the Pharisee. Well, due to God's call that we serve him and not wealth, diatuto in the Greek is because of this. Now, it's because of the call that we're supposed to serve the Lord and not wealth. Jesus directed us to stop. It's a present tense. You have two ways of using an imperative. You have the aorist tense, which means don't start in the negative, and then you have the present, which means stop. And here it's the present. He directed us to stop being anxious about our needs of physical nourishment and covering. It's interesting that Jesus used the command of the present tense, stop. The reason he said it, because he knew that people habitually always do that or tend to do that on a constant basis. We have a tendency constantly to worry about our livelihood. So he says, I want you to stop. Interesting. Now this command reveals he knew of the ongoing battle that his people have regarding this matter, explaining why he very extensively developed this theme in verse 25b and so forth. First of all, God knows that life is more important than physical things and the body than clothes. You'll notice in verse 25 where he says, is not the life more than meat and the body than clothing? See, God has a very clear idea of priorities. He knows that priority number one is your life. You need to have physical life within you. And he also knows that your body, the health of your body, is actually more important than clothing. Now, he knows that we need clothing. He knows that we need food. But believe it or not, God is more concerned about the carcinogenic cells that we have floating around in our liver right now than what we're going to have for our next meal. He's concerned about things that go way beyond even what the doctor knows about our bodies. He also is very, very concerned about our lives, whether or not we're going to get a blood clot and it's going to go and create a stroke and then we're going to be incapacitated. He's more concerned about that than the next meal we're going to get. We often think that, you know, we're going to be healthy from now until the new, you know, whenever. But the Lord is much more aware of our needs than we are. And he knows that we're much more vulnerable to disaster than what we even perceive we are. So, as a result of that, God has built within nature itself the upkeep of these things. For example, birds do not sow, they do not reap, they do not gather harvested crops into barns like we humans do. But God feeds birds as he's created them to drive constantly to look for food. It's interesting how he uses this. Behold the fowls of the earth. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns. But your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? I never cease to be amazed at going to a grocery store or to a parking lot somewhere and noticing these little, sometimes sparrows, sometimes they're seagulls out there. If there's any type of breadcrumbs or something, guess what? They're finding it and bam, they're after that and they fly. And birds have a very high metabolism. In other words, they have to eat. Most birds have to eat their weight every day in food in order to stay alive, especially in the wintertime. Crows, you see crows flying. I see them flying out there at 0 degrees Fahrenheit. Well, the reason they can do that is because they eat a lot. They have to eat a lot to keep that temperature up. So even in the wintertime, they have to find food. Otherwise, they would starve to death. Well, God has created within birds a constant drive, constantly to look for food. Incidentally, this is a good way to, it's a good lesson to learn. If shortages come up, stay busy looking for work. Stay busy looking for opportunities to get ahead. That's one of the qualities of people who do get ahead. They never just sit back on their duff and moan about it. They're looking around, constantly active. That's what birds do. Also, since humans are more valuable than birds, God will surely care for our food needs. So that's what verse 26 is about. Are you not much better or much more valuable than they? Besides, worry never adds 1 hour to our lifespan, so it's futile to worry. I love what he says in verse 27. I used to think that this meant adding 1 cubit unto your stature, unto your height, and wondered what in the world that meant. But it actually means 1 cubit unto one's lifespan. You can't increase your life by 1 second. You have no idea how long you're going to live. So here you are, we're worrying about the food that we need to have so that we can eat. And yet, you know, eat what we may, we can't add 1 day to our life. If you eat a great big meal and God has it appointed unto you to die tomorrow, what's the difference between eating a big meal and a moderate meal? You know, a meal's a meal, if that's the situation. So the point is, don't worry about it. Also, Jesus argued regarding clothing. He asked why his disciples worried about their clothes. For the lilies of the field that neither toil nor spin to make clothing are yet arrayed with greater glory than the very wealth of King Solomon. In verses 28 and 29, why do you take thought for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I know none of us here really loves dandelions because we view them as weeds. But one day I was looking at the dandelion flower that grows up and I noticed it clear, close up, how beautiful it is. The symmetry, the color is very, very clear. It's bright. The design is fantastic. And a dandelion is something we just as soon do without. And yet God clothes that dandelion with clothing that is much more ornate than what we wear. And dandelions are here today, they're supposed to be gone tomorrow. Well, if God clothes the dandelion, let's put the dandelion that way. God clothes the dandelion, which is transitory and worthless from man's perspective, in that it blooms and is cast into the oven to be consumed or cast into the mulch pile. How much more will he clothe his people? In fact, I don't even cast the dandelions into my mulch pile. I don't want them there. I don't want the little seeds there so they can grow up. So dandelions are just something we want to get rid of. But flowers, and these flowers were actually, many scholars believe they were actually a field lily or a weed, but they grew beautifully. We have a chicory plant that grows up and down the road. My wife and I love it, the chicory plant. It has sort of a slate blue color. It grows up, and the root of that, I think they've used as a substitute for coffee. It's a weed, and we're always aghast when the town comes along and mows it down. We love seeing these beautiful blue flowers growing up along the road here in the eastern part of the United States, and they're just so pretty, and yet they're considered a weed. Well, God clothes them, so God will clothe us. So Jesus called his disciples to live by faith, critiquing their small faith. And verse 30, wherefore God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven. Shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentile nations seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. It's an amazing thing. You have people that are out there investing in the stock market, putting money in, pulling it out, you know, worried about what's going to happen and so forth. And it's all just to take care of security for livelihood needs. And God's sitting there up in heaven many times wondering, why are they worried about it? Don't they know that I'm taking care of that? So we need to be very, very careful to trust the Lord. God wants us to seek as our first priority the kingdom of God and his righteousness, serving him as our ultimate master, and all these livelihood provisions will be added unto us that we might fulfill our divine callings and his kingdom assignments for us. A tremendous verse in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. So, as a closing admonition, Jesus charged that we not start to be anxious. Here you have the aorist tense instead of the present tense, which means don't start something. Don't start to be anxious about tomorrow. For today's issues offer enough problems to occupy your attention and efforts without having to fret about another day's concerns. Now, this doesn't mean that we shouldn't plan. I believe that we need to plan for the future, planning for retirement and so forth. But the point is, God doesn't want us to worry about tomorrow. We have enough concerns today to deal with the issues of livelihood, making a livelihood, keeping things going, to not have to worry about tomorrow. So in accord with this call that we serve him versus wealth as our master, Jesus urged us not to worry about our livelihood needs that we meet by spending money. For God fully knows that we need in what we need in this realm, and he meets these needs as we focus on fulfilling his call that we seek his kingdom. So may we make God, not wealth, our master, and focus on heeding him regarding his kingdom calling of us, letting him bear the care of meeting our livelihood needs. Between the last pastorate that we were in North Platte, Nebraska, and coming to Nepaugh Church here, of course, we didn't have any income. We were in the process of candidating. I didn't want to look for a job in view of that. And so our financial resources started to go down. I had a felon handed injury, so we had to go to the hospital, had that taken care of. And we got down to a total of $1, our total assets. That was all we had. It was a dollar bill I had in my wallet. That was it. And I was wondering, what are we going to do? Well, then we got a call from my brother in California. He'd had his van on the market. He'd been trying to sell it for, I think it was over a year or 2 years he'd been trying to sell it. It had suddenly sold, and he knew of our plight. And he wanted to send us some money. I think it was $1,000. He said, could you use it? I said, well, I'll accept it, providing I get to pay you back someday. But he said, oh, don't worry about it. So he sent it to us with airmail or something. He sent it to us quickly. And we had enough to eat on. Well, We lived on that $1,000 until we candidated and were accepted at Nepog Church, and I got my first check at Nepog Church. Now, that was cutting it close, but I found from that that the Lord, and we were trying to pursue His will, that the Lord allowed us to get into this situation so that we would learn to look to Him. And what's amazing about this is many years before that, there had been a difference my brother and I had over a job situation. And it had put a tremendous strain with us because of the issue of money. But he was the one that had loaned me the money. It was the last person that I thought would loan me the money. So I learned from that that God, He does own the cattle on 1,000 hills. And He can sell a couple of them if He wants, you know. And He will provide for our needs. Earlier than that, there was a pastor that we knew, Art Van Kampen. He's now with the Lord. He was an elderly pastor in Nebraska. He told us one time of a time when he and his family, they felt led of the Lord to resign a pastorate they were in and go to Brazil to be missionaries. And they're, I think it was in New York City or somewhere, they were waiting to get ready to go to the foreign field. And all of a sudden, for some reason, that missionary ministry fell through. And so he had to stay. So he went back to Nebraska. And the only place they could get to stay when was a house that was unheated. Now, you have to understand, in Nebraska, the winter gets down many times. We've been, when we were in Nebraska, we were there for several weeks below zero, all right? This house had no heat in it. He had 6 children. He said, believe it or not, I stayed in that house, and even though it wasn't a heated house, and we dressed the children, everybody warmly, all through the winter. He says, I was able to get some carpentry jobs. He said, no one in the family got even a single cold all winter. And I remember Art telling us, his voice was cracking. He was almost at the point of the tears. He said, gentlemen, I want, and we were a group of younger pastors. He was sort of the head superintendent pastor over us. He said, I want you to know, if God calls you to a work, He will supply for your needs. I never forgot that. Of course, dear Art is now with the Lord. But this is very true. If we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He will add all these things unto us. The food, the clothing, even the housing. And because housing is important, you have to have housing, especially in this part of the country. I view that just like clothing. You have to stay warm somehow. But we have to do His will. We have to seek Him, and it will happen.